think communists here, right? But I'm going to tell you that this here, I believe, is more communist than it is over there. And that's a shame. They don't pay any property taxes over there. None. Yeah, their income taxes is like 5%. They don't make as much labor-wise, but there's a lot of opportunities, that's for sure. And the toilets are the most sanitary toilets I ever seen in my life. They're just little holes, I mean, square things on the ground. Yeah, and they got little places where you put your feet, right? And they're so sanitary, you have to bring your own napkins or whatever. But yeah, we carried some in a Ziploc bag. I have a vest, I put it in there, you know, some napkins in there, in case you had to go to the bathroom. But you don't have to worry about touching the seat, because there isn't one.
How do you sit down?
You squat. Yeah, I mean, it's not good for the elderly, the older people, if they got bad knees. So there are, but you have to mark those on a map because they're very far and few between. But she's got a lot of family over there, and the town we were in, I was in it's called a Ubei province, and the town is like Wanan or something like that. But when I was there, people were staring at me like I was a celebrity. I mean, if we went into a store, they bring up a seat. I would get to sit down, and they would bring me tea, and it was good tea. And this stuff you can't buy here, right? But yeah, I mean, in her town, when we were in Beijing, it wasn't so bad. But when we flew into Beijing, the first hotel we went to, because we didn't know to make a reservation or anything, her uncle was helping us when we got there. He picked us up at the airport and everything. And first hotel, he goes, "Yeah, we'll go over here." So we went over there, and they went and they said no foreigners allowed. I'm like, what? So he goes, "Okay, let's go across the street." So we went across the street, and there was another one, and they said no foreigners allowed. I'm like, okay, I feel like a second-class citizen. Now I'm going to have to be sitting on the back of the buses. I'm going to have to sit on the back of the trains. Well, I didn't know what to expect after that. So, and then come to find out, if the hotels aren't up to par, they won't let a foreigner stay there because they don't want them to get a bad idea of the country. Yeah, so... the next one we went to, yeah, it was really nice, and they let me come in. So, but yeah, you need a passport for everything. Their own people can't travel in that country without a passport. And their systems are directed straight to the police stations. So you give them a passport, it's to the police station. So they know everything about you right away. But their technology there is very, very primitive. They're on 3G still. And so when you try to get online for anything, it's very, very difficult if you're traveling. It takes 20 minutes sometimes to get online to find directions or to find a map, you know. So if I ever go there again, which probably I will, I really like the place. It's very, very nice, and it's coming up. I mean, there's so much industry there. I think the first half hour I counted over 1,000 high-rise cranes. I mean, and we were on a bullet train doing 200 miles an hour, and these high-rise cranes were everywhere. They're building cities there. And what they're doing is they're renovating, they're planting a lot of trees, you'd be amazed at how much work is going on over there. But as far as churches and stuff, I don't see any. I can see any of that. Churches, nothing. People are just running around, and there's no. In her town, there was hardly any traffic lights. Now imagine rush hour downtown, flowing, not stopped, flowing. So many cars you can't even believe. Bikes, electric bikes, motorcycles. And they're all just moving, doing whatever they want, and nobody's getting it. They're going as fast as they want. They're beeping the horn. They're going down wrong ways and one ways. But there's no stop signs, nothing. So, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, how are they able to do this? They just pick a place and put it in their mind and do it. Yes? Well, yeah, I mean, but their travel is really cheap, and very, very, very cheap. Their food is very cheap, and so their travel, yeah, they have to. But your license is, every time you go and use a credit card, don't think that you're not getting. They know what you're doing, right here. Their travel is really cheap. Where they limit us with our gas prices, they have trains they go everywhere with. I mean, we traveled on a subway. It was like a couple yen, 2 to 3 yen to travel throughout the whole city. It's like, what do you do, you know? But yeah, there's guards. They've got armed guards in certain places around your embassies with machine guns. And there's like these police officers everywhere, right? But they're just kids. They're kids. And they don't have guns or nothing. I mean, your military do. They have guns. I mean, they're machine guns, so you don't want to step out of line probably. But, hey, you have this, what is it, Tiananmen Square over there? My wife didn't even know about that till she got here. So their information that they allow you to have over there is you don't get any information. So that's how they limit their, that's how they keep their people under control, is they limit the what kind of information you can get and how much of it you can get. So it keeps you blinded and people just go about their business. They don't even worry about it. But they don't, nobody bothers them. They don't pull them over for tickets or anything. The only time a police officer gets involved with it is if there's an accident. That's the only time. And usually your accidents aren't other cars hitting cars. It's a car hitting a bike, or you know, pedal bike. That's I only seen one of them. Starving kids in China. Remember hear that when we were kids? Remember? Hey, eat all your food on your plate. There's starving kids in China. Well, I didn't see anybody starving over there. There's so much food, and they waste more food than you would imagine. It's just wasteful over there. And those are three cities that I went in, and I tried to pay attention to that. How poor are people? And is there any churches? Can you see anything? I couldn't read anything, any signs anyway, but I told my wife, hey, if you see something with any type of church, let me know. She didn't see nothing either. So, but as far as the dogs, the stray dogs, they're passing up hot dogs on the road. That's how full they are. Yeah. And there's very dirty in some of these cities. Shanghai is really clean. There's a garbage can every 30 feet in Shanghai. But you go into some of these other cities, her city, it was a wreck when I got there. I guess they just had some holiday or something. And I'm like, man, it's really dirty. There's garbage all over the ground. And then it was rained a couple days. It come out the next day, everything was cleaned. So they have street cleaners everywhere. People working, right? But yeah, it's an interesting place. The street or the sidewalks are marble everywhere, even in the small cities, marble. I don't know if that's what it looks like over there where they are, but yeah. Anything else? Anybody got any questions? Yeah. Yeah, it is very nice. Yep. It's more westernized there, but when you get out of there, it's just, I mean, some of these cities that you wouldn't even think. It's just marble on the sidewalks and the curbs. Everything's hand laid. I didn't see any of them. I didn't go in any of them. No, but. But, I mean, yeah, I thought they were clean. I was like, this is interesting.
If you go up into the mountains,
It probably is. We were a little bit south. We were 5 hours south of Beijing. So I when you get up into the mountains, yeah, you'll see. But I've got pictures of some of these villages in the mountains, and they're gorgeous. Now, one thing you do see, and you see a lot of, you see a lot of farm fields, and you don't see any major equipment over there. You don't see that. You see people out there with oxen still, and little roller tillers, like little mechanical oxen, I call them. But, and you see tombs everywhere. They bury people right in the fields. Yeah. I think we've seen one graveyard, but most of the time it's just a big mound. I was like, man, what are those mounds? Why do people throw their trash out in the middle of a field? And those are tombs. And they go over there and put flowers on them and put all this weird symbolism all over these tombs and burn incense and stuff on them and stuff. So, but yeah, they bury people over there, that's for sure. And they bury them right out in a field. So they don't just lay them in the streets. But I did see some, you know, meat markets on the streets and everything, and fresh meat every day. And they just, I mean, it's gone by the end of the day. You got people out there keeping the flies off everything. But, so that's basically the little experience that I, yeah. Oh yeah, yep. And then I was taking pictures with people for 7 days. People would come across the city to take a picture with me. I'm like, yeah. I was like, well, you got to be kidding me. So when we went to see the Great Wall, we got off the subway and we were going to take a train there. And there was a person there, and she wouldn't even let me think. She was just, I mean, you know, coming up to my wife and trying to get us to go with them. And I was like, well, why don't we just take a cab? I don't know any of these people and everything. Let me think about this. So I'm weighing the thing. And basically what it was like a tour group thing where you get to go with a bunch of people. And so she gave us this deal. She said, you don't have to pay anything until you get back. I said, okay, that's a plus. And I said, I asked how much. It was like $25. And that was to drive an hour and a half one way and an hour and a half back. And then they left us there for 4 hours. And that was pretty cheap because you couldn't get that in with a cab. It would be a lot more. But so we did that. And then we got there, and the guy wanted my ID. I said to my wife, I said, you tell him he's not getting my ID. I will give him half of the amount now and half of the amount when we get back. And he said, no, we need something, a hotel key or something. I said, no, you're not getting my hotel key. You're not getting my passport. And I told her to tell him if he wanted anything different than what they offered us, they should have disclosed that up front. Now I determine what the contract is, and that's the contract. I gave him the $75, and I shook his hand, and he just smiled. So then on the way back, at the end, he wanted his money, right? So then she said, my wife says, he's complaining to all the people on the bus about us, about these foreigners and how they wouldn't pay us and blah, blah, blah. I said to my wife, he had to do that to save face with these guys because that's all about saving face in China. So I didn't mind him complaining about me. I got what I wanted. He got what he wanted. Everybody went home happy, right, except for the people that had to pay everything up front. So, but anyway, we'll go ahead and pray and we'll have a little bit of a lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your words, and thank you for the opportunity to go to a different place and just see the people over there, Lord. And a lot of those people, just they have idols, Lord, and they have idols just like the people here. And Father, we pray that the missionaries that are there doing their jobs and those that are trying to serve you over there, that you would just please just give them grace and help them to live peacefully over there and not have any interference with that government while they're doing your work. And we pray these things, Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. Yeah, so I don't know, as far as I'm talking to a few Chinese people about how you get to witness to people over there. One guy, he's just going out street preaching. This missionary that went over there, that we actually met him in Shanghai. He's over there, and like I said, there's a little bit more freedom in Shanghai. It's more westernized, but with the Chinese people, I think you have to become their friend first. And the way that the people do that is with feeding. I mean, meals. They invite them over for meals, and they try to befriend them in a way to where, because if you can get one Chinese person to be your friend, then it would be a lot easier for them to get more to be your friend. You see what I'm saying? It just everything's relationships there. It's relationships. And so, like, I think they're teaching over there, aren't they? They're able to get to the kids. So, but to get to a, you know, an adult, it'd probably be difficult over there. And if you're a foreigner, they watch you. They got police officers watching you. And there was three police officers watching me when we went to a dinner, and they were standing right outside. And, I mean, they didn't leave us the whole time. So, I mean, it's difficult for a foreigner to go, I think, to go over there and do any work. You have to have somebody there to help you out and, you know, teach them here or something and then send them back. That would probably be your best bet as far as witnessing to those people. All right, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. The Bible says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. This verse here, it indicates by the specifics here that there are other scribes and Pharisees that are in different locations. And they know them by where they're at. That's what the Bible, I mean, we know these people are from Jerusalem. Why does the Lord want us to know they're from Jerusalem? And so it shows you that they're in different locations. There's different scribes, different Pharisees in different locations throughout the region. And these scribes and Pharisees here in Jerusalem, they probably carry a little bit more weight with them, a little bit more clout than the scribes and Pharisees that may be in the surrounding villages. Look at what they do here. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying," why, right? "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." And there will always be people questioning and asking in an accusing way. Accusing questions. There'll always be people like that. And these types of people who are constantly doing these things, you'll be able to tell them apart. They'll stand out. They'll stand out where anybody can see them. Anybody can see them. And their questions, they're going to be set forth in such a way that they strain at gnats. They look at small things. And they swallow camels. They swallow camels. And that's found in Matthew 23:24. The Bible says, he's talking about the religious leaders here, the scribes, the Pharisees. He says, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." And he goes in there and he hits on these scribes and Pharisees hard in Matthew chapter 23. But this is what they've done. This is what they do. And these people, they'll usually be in some type of leadership position. Most of the time, they'll have some political or personal gain as to why they're doing this, why they're accusing, looking for the small things. And And a lot of times they can't even see that they're doing it. They don't even know themselves that they're doing it. And why? They're blinded. They're blinded by their personal agenda. And the trained eye, the eye that has some scripture knowledge, has read some of the scriptures in the Bible and knows some of these things, some of the teachings, and how Jesus handled these people, and the trained ear, they can spot these guys a mile away. And you can tell, hey, I need to be wary of this gentleman here or this lady here or whoever. It happens at work all the time. You know, a guy will say one thing, and I'll be like, okay, I got to watch out for that guy for the next 25 years. Right? Every time he comes around, I got to be watching on my toes. But anyway, here's this man on the earth that's been casting out devils. He's been walking on the water. He's been calming the seas, healing all manner of diseases. And he's here in Jerusalem. And what a big opportunity for these scribes and Pharisees to meet the man that's been doing all these wonderful things. And all these signs, all these miracles. And they finally get their chance to meet the guy, and look at what they ask him. Right? They accuse him. They accuse, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? You would think that they would have some important question to ask Jesus, the one who's claiming to be God. But they don't. They don't. They ask, they accuse. That's the gnat, folks. Verse 2, that's the gnat. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. These people are not the least interested in the good that Jesus and his disciples have been doing, like the healing. They're not interested in that. And there's nothing new today, folks. There's nothing new today. And there'll always be somebody who doesn't care about the good that the pastor's doing. There'll always be somebody. There'll always be somebody who doesn't care about the hours of prayer that the man puts in. The hours of study that he goes through to put lessons together throughout the weeks. There'll always be somebody that doesn't care about that. And there'll always be somebody that'll say, he didn't do this right, look at this. There'll always be somebody like that, folks. And we have to be careful as Christians that we major in the majors. Look, hey, if somebody's doing something majorly wrong, then all right. But if somebody is just doing the best they can, right? They're just trying to do good. A lot of times we just gotta just don't major in the minors. Major in the majors. A wicked heart has the tendency to pass over all the good that somebody does to find one little tiny fault. We're all that way, folks. Me too. I'm the same way. A lot of times I got to catch myself. Is it really that big of a deal? Is this little gnat that big of a deal? When there's a hornet out there ready to sting me, that's the one I got to be worried about. The gnat's just going to bug me sometimes. But a wicked heart will pass over all that good. And we got to keep that in mind. Now there's something to notice here in this verse. And we have to remember this. And that is that when we strain at a gnat about our brothers in Christ, about our sisters in Christ, in an accusing way, this is what it does. We don't accuse them. We accuse Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening here. They're rebuking Jesus Christ. They're not rebuking his disciples. And Jesus takes, and he hits them hard for this one. He spends 9 verses on this little gnat that they come up with. And when you attack Jesus Christ, you're going to see what Jesus Christ does to you. And he's going to rebuke you for it. And he rebukes through the Word of God. And that's what he does. Let's look at this rebuke. Verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Hey, all they're doing is breaking a manly tradition. Right? They're just breaking your tradition. But you're breaking God's tradition. Or God's commandment, not tradition. It's a commandment. Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? And so here's the camel. This is a great question. And every church and every saved person would do well to take this question and apply it to themselves. The problem, of course, is it's most churches and most people around the world don't even know that they have the Word of God or they could get the Word of God. And that's a big problem. If you don't believe you have a copy of the Scriptures, you know, how are you gonna know that those are the commandments of God? And so you see a lot of people drifting towards their own traditions because they don't even believe they have the Word of God. They don't believe they can get the Word of God. And we have the Word of God. And God would not leave us here and judge us later without at least giving us guidelines to go by. That would be unjust. And he's just. He's given us a copy, perfect copy, his perfect words. But everybody needs to see this great question. And if you were to go into most churches today and tell them that we're going to start doing things and teaching things about the Bible, what the Bible says, and we're going to start doing away with some of these traditions that your church has. Like, for instance, the Easter Bunny. Easter Sunday. We're going to stop having Easter messages on Easter Sunday. And we're going to stop having the little Easter egg hunts out in the back 40 for the little kids. And stop giving away chocolate bunnies. And then come October, I think it's in October, right? It's been such a long time that Halloween, I mean, I don't even pay any attention with it anymore, but we're not going to have any more pumpkin carving contests. That's what these churches are doing, folks. That's what they do. And come December, we're going to not put up the bale bush in the church. And we're not going to have the ornaments on the trees. And when you do that, right? If you did that, you'd lose 70% of the people there. Why? Because their traditions are more important. Man's traditions are more important than the Word of God. And that's what they think. And hey, folks, in independent Bible-believing churches, it's no different. It's no different. Not everybody, but there are people that go to independent Bible-believing churches that have the Word of God, that believe the Word of God. Come December time, they don't love the Word of God December time, right? They love it 350 days out of the year, but the rest of the time, hey, as long as you don't attack Santa and prevent him from coming and giving out presents, and predict, as long as you don't kill the Easter Bunny in April, you're all right. We'll come to church those times, but any other time, we're not going to come to church if you're going to talk about that stuff. The people, they love the Bible most of the year, but sometimes they just don't love the Bible, folks. And the Bible warns us. It warns us to beware of the traditions of men. Colossians 2. Colossians 2:8. The Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Just think of how many rewards that were there for you that you could have gotten. How many Christmases go by in a lifetime, right? Those are rewards for obeying the scriptures and for not participating in those traditions. How many rewards would he have gotten for giving to missionaries instead of giving to presents out to everybody and nothing for Jesus? How many rewards on Easter Sunday instead of... these are pagan holidays, folks, pagan. And there's gods that are associated with those. We all got information here. I mean, in China, you won't get this information. But here, you can get it. You can search it up online. If you got a computer, you can find this stuff out. So there's no excuse in this country. They don't even celebrate Christmas over there. Huh? And that's something. But over here we do. And I'm not beating on that too much. I don't want to beat on it too much. But I'm just trying to show you the traditions of men will outweigh the Word of God. Will outweigh the Word of God at times in our lives. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. This is the verse that... that the Catholics use to justify following their traditions. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, the Bible says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." All right, these guys are teaching them the Word of God. And there's traditions in the Word of God, yeah. Are they teaching them about traditions of Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny? But the Catholic Church will use that verse to justify their following their traditions. And we'll go back to Matthew and we'll try and close this up. Matthew 15. Verse 4. "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." And we'll get into this a little bit next week, but folks, if you think about it now, think about if you got kids, you're seeing what you're going through. But me, I don't have any kids, and I have to really think about this stuff. But think about the sacrifices and the money. We don't see that. We don't see that unless you go through it. And all the time and what they gave up to raise their kids up. And when the parents get a little older and they can't take care of themselves, we as children need to take care of our own. And when you don't do that, you are dishonoring mother and father. That's what this is going to be talking about. So we'll go ahead and stop there, and we'll close with a word of prayer and get ready for the next service. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your words, and thank you for this church and the freedoms of religion that we do have here, Lord. We still have them here, and they are leaving slowly, Lord, and we're letting them slip through our fingers. And we pray that we would just hold on to what we have here. Because you see in these other countries, when you go over there, yeah, the communism here is pretty bad. But over there, I mean, they can't do the things we can do here as far as religion goes, and as far as God goes, and as far as speaking about Jesus Christ. They can't do that there. They have to do that in secret. And Father, we thank you for the freedoms that we do have here still, and we pray that you would just preserve them for Christ's sake. Amen.